America's most explosive bowl. We need those, like, we need that Funkmaster Flex noise that he always puts in to remix. Funkmaster Flex! New Mexico Bowl!
That's how Steve Adazio did his pregame speeches for Florida. I mean, that's how you, why you hold him in such high regard, right?
Just explosion noises on a board, like Jim Cramer hitting them, right? Feeling bullish about this game! Luke, this is pretty momentous because this is the first and the second installment of 35-35 podcast we do for all 35 bowl games during the season. And what an auspicious way to begin the truncated, sausage-like ending to our season than with the New Mexico Bowl. What do we know about the New Mexico Bowl in terms of location, sir?
We know it's at least in the top 35 of destinations to go to a bowl game in the United States. I know we do know that, you know, New Mexico, Albuquerque is particularly kind of a gorgeous lost gem of the Southwest. At least enough things to do to entertain you for an upwards of 2.5 to 3.5 hours in summation. And, there's probably things to do besides meth, but we can't really confirm nor deny that at this point.
So let's just assume that the number one attraction here is meth, and the second will be Albuquerque itself, which we call the most explosive bowl game because this is the bowl game that is closest to the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the United States. So
it's also one of two bowls with legitimate chance for a Mexican cartel to actually blow something up in the parking lot during the game, this and the Sun Bowl.
Really, nothing really beats the Sun Bowl, though. The Sun Bowl pretty much has that on lock. This would be extra. This would be gravy on top of that. Albuquerque, by the way, I asked somebody, what is Albuquerque like? She said, well, it's kind of fucked up, but I think you'd like how it's fucked up. So
I had two friends that actually lived there for about a year and a half working in a local media there. Must have been really hustling beat. But I asked my buddy who moved out there with his wife who took the job in local. I was like, so how's walk to a place that sells wine? And that was about like the most exciting thing he could offer up about living in Albuquerque.
That's it. I can walk to a place and then I can walk back and sit in my house and drink wine. I'm sure it's a very beautiful place if you're listening from New Mexico. Nothing's wrong with it and everything's awesome. That's what I
did. And they attracted Mike Loxley, I mean.
That's true. And Mike Loxley managed to thrive there, so you know that they have they at least have a great tolerance for eccentricity. That's something we have to like. A couple of New Mexico facts before we get too far down. The state motto, Crescit Undo, it grows as it goes. So evidently,
it's heavy.
Yeah, I know that's heavy and sensual. And in addition to that, the state song is "Oh, Fair New Mexico." The state bird, by the way, you care to guess?
Since it's maybe the Roadrunner, right?
That would be the Roadrunner. Very good. The state fish, it's New Mexico cutthroat trout, the most gangsta of freshwater fish,
which is actually just like a body floating down the Rio Grande.
Exactly. That's what. And then I do like this, though, by the way. Three facts that we have to like. Actually, four. State vegetables, chili and frijoles, naturally. The state,
right.
This is a state that has a state dinosaur. The Coleophysis, a meat-eating dinosaur, is the description here. It has a state grass, blue gamma grass. I'll assume that's marijuana laced with methamphetamine. And a state insect, the tarantula hawk, the most badass of all wasps. So, New Mexico, I'm liking your style. Let's actually talk about the game a little bit. We're looking at Temple. Are you prepared to talk about Temple since I'm completely impartial with them and would obviously be too clinical because they're coached by Steve Adazio?
Sure, yeah. I can at least pretend to be authoritative on them. I mean, certainly one thing Adazio did well that I think even he got some credit for his time in Florida was his run game coordination. Temple was seventh in the entire country, averaging a little more than 250 yards a game rushing. They didn't score a ton of points, and they were god-awful at passing the ball. Their defense was also outstanding. Chuck Heater did a tremendous job there. I think they were third in the country in points against. So they might not allow too many points, especially in the always wacky action-prone MAC. They managed to escape mostly unscathed. Whether Temple is probably just going to run the ball all day every day. I think their running back, if I recall correctly, is Bernard Pierce, who had multiple 150-yard plus rushing games. So, you know, they're going to get the ball and they're going to, you know, run dive over and over. You know, who knows if against, you know, Wyoming it can actually work.
Yeah, this is a team that you really don't want to get behind on because they're just going to sit there and grind it out.
It's like a Jim Trussell offense, which I knew all too well. So
yeah, they really, passing is an adventure with them and always will be. But their run game is superb. They're very, very, very sound up front. And like most Steve Adazio teams, most, I say, until he actually had to juggle both sides, very good across the lines. So a very solid, very, if you like man ball, you'll love Temple football.
Want one, you know, potential, I don't know, harbinger of doom for Wyoming is that they lost to Utah State, who kind of ran a motion offense, 63-19. So if you can run to the tune of 63 points on Wyoming, maybe Temple has a puncher's chance.
Yeah, and that would be one angle to take on the game. The other would be to say that if there is a difference maker on the field, oh, we just used that phrase. If there's explosions. New Mexico. That should be, by the way, I think we just conjured up their new tourism campaign, which is just an explosion in the word New Mexico, and that's it. Like 5-second ads. People are like, oh man, that seems pretty
just a
bad.
Mobile meth lab and an RV exploding in the background.
Just go ahead. We haven't said the Breaking Bad joke yet. We need to save that for the end because it's the most expected joke, right? So we'll just wait for that at the end. The Wyoming Cowboys, who will be playing this, of course, in their urine and feces colored uniforms, which I can't decide. Like sometimes I hate them and sometimes I love them.
You know, it's just like when you're far too well about changing diapers. You know,
yeah,
maybe it's cool colored, maybe it's kind of ugly.
Yeah, you know, like you get a completely different take on this. Like you're like, oh, it's a healthy color poop. I'm slightly happy about that.
He's been eating well.
I know. This is Wyoming. By the way, 8-4 this year. Did very, very well. Coached by Dave Christensen, former offensive coordinator at Missouri. They run an up-tempo, fast attack, helmed by Mountain West freshman of the year, Brett Smith. An outstanding young player who will put up large numbers in his career if all things stay in place at Wyoming.
You got to feel good about a quarterback anytime his name sounds like a creative player, like an auto-generated player in a football video game. Brett Smith.
Yeah, you know, Brett Smith. Of that three-star guy that you really, really wanted, right? Because you were recruiting out of the Sun Belt, and you had to spend a lot of like minutes on phone calls with him, but you got him.
And he went to the Mountain West instead. So
yeah, and he went to the Mountain West. Damn it! But Brett Smith, little skinny, little rangy, but got some wheels, can pass the ball. They ended up being 46 in total offense, which considering the tools you have at Wyoming. And some of the fair defenses you're going to play in the Mountain West. I said fair, not great, but you know, they're fair. Those are impressive numbers. The thing that makes me think that this could be a shootout, by the way, is there are some complementary weaknesses here. Wyoming is 115th in rush defense. 115th. It just so happens that Temple likes to run the ball and was 26th in rush defense. Go figure that. However, they can't pass the ball. That's something that they cannot do. Or that Temple can't pass the ball, which is cool because, you know, passing defense, they were actually, you know, middling, 76. So I think this is the kind of game where you're going to see both teams score a lot of points because you have an explosive offense on one side for Wyoming and you have a very good rushing offense on the other side. I think this thing's probably going to be in the 30s for both teams, especially with the defensive layoff. Adventure time. Let's go ahead and discuss the activities. The all-important, because this is about the kids. So what do you get to do when you're at the New Mexico Bowl?
Steal things, consume methamphetamine. I don't know what really is on the table out there.
There's really not a lot. They used to have a chili cook-off, which I have not seen on the docket this year.
We could just make Rob Stone eat hot peppers over and over again for everyone's amusement.
I would pay to watch Rob Stone inflict pain on himself, not because I dislike Rob Stone, but because he seems so genuinely in pain over the whole thing. I will say this though, they do get among bowling activities today, team luncheon. Oh yeah,
they feed them.
Team luncheon. They feed them food, and they give them a swag bag, which the bowl gifts, as always, are amusing. But we will go ahead and just assume that in that thing you get the explosive aerated mercury. that Walter throws in, I believe, season two of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta be willing to improvise, and they're sparing no expenses there at the Mexico Bowl.
The final thing about the New Mexico Bowl, we need to cover our announcers. This is very important, especially for you'll probably end up watching half of this game. That's really probably what you'll end up getting, the announcers for this game. Do you know what a Clay Matvick is?
I'm not entirely sure. It sounds almost like a Trevor Maddich combination with Clay Travis, so I don't know if that's a good thing. I would venture towards not, but
If Clay Travis were crossed with Trevor Maddich, you would have the world's largest troll.
we'll see if he lives up to that billing. It's awfully, high standards to hold him up to.
Our color commentator, you do know, Brian Griese,
Yeah, sounds kind of like his dad, enjoys tacos.
enjoys tacos, enjoys sort of insensitive racial remarks, probably. Just like old Pop. Saying it was racist, it's just insensitive. Juan Pablo Montoya. I mean, although to be fair, Juan Pablo Montoya, after he did mention the taco thing, Juan Pablo Montoya was like, "Well, I do like tacos." Handling it well, man. And on color, we have Jessica Mendoza, which
Yeah, who we discussed off air is evidently a former U.S. gold medal Olympian at softball.
yes.
So I don't recall having seen her, work a game. Maybe some of our Sun Belt and, more obscure listeners out there have seen her on ESPN3 or something. But she got the call, luxurious Albuquerque. It's now or never. Her dreams are coming to fruition right before our eyes.
I can say this safely, knowing that this crew and everybody else, even if we don't know anything about Jessica Mendoza, as a former Olympian in softball, she's probably more accurate with her arm than Brian Griese.
True.